We are continuing our series on Kindle the Fire. Primary verse taken from Luke chapter 12, verse 49. Jesus said, "I came to cast fire upon the earth. How I wish it were already kindled." For today, we are going to meditate on one of another elements of the Kindle the Fire series, which is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Shall we all read this first in the English Standard Version as it is displayed here? English Standard Version from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, followed by New American Standard Bible as well. Let us read this all together, please. "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." New American Standard. "For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Very similar, but if you notice, it uses the word fan into flame the gift of God. If you have a King James Version, it uses the word stir up. Stir up sometimes means many different ways. You might think of a liquid, etc. But the original meaning has the word fire. Pyro means fire. So here it says, "I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God," or in the New American Standard, "kindle afresh the gift of God." No wonder it is well related to the Kindle the Fire series. Let us read this same verse in a Hindi language. Let us all read this together, please. In Hindi, let us all read this. "Isi karan mai tujhe sudhi dilta hoon ki tu parameshwar ke us vardaan ko jo mere haath rakhne ke dwara tujhe mila hai chamka de." Chamka de. To be able to let it really not just fire burning, but it is lighting also, to be able to seen by others. How about in Telugu? Let us read this together, please. "Aa hetuvu cheta na hasta nikshepanam valana neeku kaligina devuni krupavaramu prajwalimpa cheyavalanani neeku gnyapakamu cheyuchunnanu." Devuni krupavaramu prajwalimpa cheyadam, being able to keep lighting in order to be able to experience that important element of the fact that it should be full of flame, full of flame. So for that, we are going to primarily take this verse from the English Standard Version. There you must have had it, some blank lines there on your sermon notes. Please write it down, this particular verse, because it's going to help us sometimes, not only reading, listening, but writing. You know, when we were in school days, we were told to write multiple times because that gives us more concentration. So here, let us write this particular one. "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Write it down. Maybe it's hard. Maybe it's been a while since we wrote it. With all the technology of keyboards and touch screens, etc., it's been a while since you have written a sentence, for that matter. So let's take some time to write this particular verse, which is the word of God. God's word. We have to write it as well. And there are many truths that we are going to learn today. And may the Lord enable us to understand this specific verse that we are going to meditate upon. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Having your Bibles open, please open your Bibles as well in 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you do not have Bibles, please let us know. We will pass on a Bible to you. It's very important for us to be able to know the scriptures and to have a Bible in hand as well for us to meditate on his word. So maybe may the Lord enable us. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, gracious God, open our eyes that we may see wondrous things from your word. Not my words, but let your words come through me, that it may cause an eternal transformation in our lives, Father. Lord, we pray, Father, we have come with different frames of mind, different situations that we are going through, but you are the God who knows our situations and you can speak to us today. Won't you speak to us, Lord? Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why did I ask to write this? Because there is something that we can learn from the Bible, from the scriptures themselves. The first thing that we can learn is reason to remind. I have underlined that also. If you want to underline, you can underline. You can write it down as well. Reason to remind. There is something that Paul, the apostle, has written this letter to young Timothy. And he said, for this reason, I remind you. Reminders are essential, especially with smartphones. We tend to forget so much that we keep calling Siri or we can open up the reminders and put reminders for us. We want to get reminded. The more we are reminded, the more it enables us to move forward in our lives. Some people are very good in reminding us. Some people are very good in being able to remember people's birthdays with all the smartphone technology. Even the same people who are remembering birthdays and phone numbers no longer remember, because the whole memory has gone into the phones. But still, we are thankful to God that we have reminders. And here Paul the apostle is saying, for this reason I remind you. What is it that he is reminding? And what is the reason for which he is reminding? There is a reason to remind. If you see here in verse 2, he says, to Timothy, my beloved son. What a wonderful statement this is. To Timothy, my beloved son. My dear brother and sister, this is very essential for us to understand that he was telling, or he was quoting, calling Timothy as his beloved son. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. Not only 2 Timothy 1, 2, but 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. What does he say? He says, to Timothy, my true child in the faith. My true child in the faith. What does it say in your language? Please read. Na nijamaina kumarudu viswasamubati, by faith. By faith, he is my son. The faith that has caused him to be able to have a spiritual son for him. The first thing that we can understand is why does he have to remind Timothy? What is the reason for him to remind? The first reason that we can see is Timothy is his faith-based son. The son whom he is calling, my son, my true child in faith. That is the kind of relationship God's family should have. That is the kind of relationship God's family should be able to experience, to be able to see somebody else growing in the Lord, to be able to be brought forth to Christ, and also being fed in order to be able to grow in Christ. Even in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, my son or my child. He was so much concerned about Timothy. He was so much concerned in order to be able to pass on what he has been experiencing to the next generation from a spiritual perspective. He wanted to ensure that the faith that he had is well established in his spiritual son as well. Faith-based son. He had a concern towards him. How much concern do we have for our fellow godly family? The church family. Do we have concern for each other? To be able to just ask them, how are you doing? I just want to remind you, my dear. You can call them brother. You can call them sister. You can even call them my son. Like Paul. If you have that experience of being able to recognize a spiritual father and spiritual son relationship, you can say that as well. Typically, we call each other brother and sister. But there are many other relationships here. At least he was able to call him son. Faith-based son. And then because of that particular experience, how did he have that experience? In verse 3 he says, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did. He was able to recognize how much the forefathers of Paul himself were able to have a clear conscience serving God. Serving God with a clear conscience. Not out of obligation, my dear. Not because somebody is telling me to do that, I'm serving God. But I'm serving God with a clear conscience. Because of the calling that God has given me, I am serving God. I am serving God with a clear conscience. In what way is he serving? Not only in order to be able to do things, but also he says, I constantly remember you in my prayers. To be able to pray for each other. To pray for our fellow godly family member. The faith-based son, he constantly remembers him in prayers night and day. And he says, longing to see you. That is a desire. Oh, how I wish to see each other, my dear brother, sister. It's been a while. If you miss one Sunday, to be able to say, oh, how much longing I had to meet you, my dear. And if somebody misses a particular Sunday, to call them and say, how are you doing? We missed you. To be able to say, we were longing to see each other, to have fellowship with each other. I long to see you even as I recall your tears. Maybe he was going through tough times. Timothy might have been going through tough times in his life that Paul knew very well, because he's a faith-based son for him, that he not only was praying for him, but he was remembering the tears of Timothy. People are going through tears in their lives. Do you know? Do you know the ones who are coming to the church regularly? Do you know what is going on in their lives? Maybe they are going through tough times in their lives. Family situations. Maybe job situations. They may be crying inside, but externally they may be saying hello, praise the Lord, or whatever kind of a greeting they want to give. But maybe they are going through tears in their lives, my dear. Maybe you are that one who is going through the tears right now. Maybe something is going on in your life that is causing you so much of situation. You have come to the right place, my dear. The family of God. The family of God takes care of each other. Here he was saying, I recall your tears that I may be filled with joy. Your tears will turn out to become joy because of the wonderful relationship that you have in the family of God. Verse 5. Let's all read this together, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelled in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. Not only faith-based son, but now he is remembering something else. He was not only remembering him in his prayers in verse 3, not only was he remembering his tears in verse 4, and also he is remembering the sincere faith, the faith of mother. The faith of mother. What a wonderful coincidence. I don't think it is just a coincidence, but it is under the plan of God to be able to meditate on mother, on a Mother's Day. The faith of mother. There are two mothers here. From a relationship of Timothy, one is a grandmother, the other is a mother. But from a hierarchical relationship, there are two mothers here. The faith of the mother. Why? The reason to remind is not only that Timothy is his faith-based son, but also he's remembering the faith of the mother. Lois means agreeable. Lois, lawyer, I think it says in other languages. She's a mother of Eunice. We always think of her as a grandmother. But before she was a grandmother, she was a mother. Lois was a mother. She had a daughter, Eunice. And Lois had a sincere faith within her. It says, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois. The faith, the sincere faith. The sincere faith, my dear. The sincere, the word sincere is also translated as unfeigned if you have King James Version. And some other translations, it uses the word unpretended or unhypocritical. Now you understand what it means. Unhypocritical. Faith that we have, let us not be hypocritical. Let us not be hypocritical. The unfeigned faith or sincere faith. Whom are we fooling with the faith that we are talking about? We are fooling ourselves if we say that we really have faith. But what is that faith that we are talking about? Faith comes from hearing. And hearing from the word of God. The faith, the sincere faith, meaning complete reliance on somebody. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. Everything aside, complete faith. No matter what will happen, I totally trust in somebody. And that somebody is God himself. Here he says, Lois was a wonderful mother. The faith that she had in the God of creation, the God of salvation, that not only did she have, But that faith was able to be seen in the next generation. Eunike. In English, it's called Eunice, as if it's called you, nice. You are nice. Eunike. You means good. Nike means victory. Nike. Nike means victory. That is how it is pronounced, by the way, if you didn't know that. Eunike. Eunike. You Nike. This lady, Eunice, also was able to see her mother. The faith that her mother had, Lois had. And how she lived up to the faith that Lois had. Whatever be the reason, something must have happened in the life of Eunice. In the life of Eunice, let us see in Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. Please read Acts chapter 16, verse 1.
Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek.
This was a situation that Eunice was going through. We don't know when she came to know Christ as her personal savior. Maybe it was a later time, we don't know. Maybe first the grandmother came to know Christ, maybe at her later stage. And later, Eunice also realized, seeing it, whether she was married by the time her mother was saved or not. We don't know, not much is talked about, so we cannot assume things here. But one thing that we know here is, in verse 1, it says, Timothy, son of a Jewish woman. Who is this Jewish woman? Eunice. Who was she? Her background was a Jewish, but she was a believer. What is a believer? The one who has faith in Christ. You could use the word a person who has faith or believer, both mean the same. The one who has faith. The faith of a person in Christ Jesus. That is what the believer. That is why in the Christian world, especially, they're more than using the word Christian, they're using the word believers. Are they believers? Are they Christians? No, are they believers? They say, why? Because there is much more to it. Christians, nowadays the word Christian has become such a nominal word that they are gone to the next step of being able to ask if they are believers. Believers in Lord Jesus Christ. Is it a believers fellowship, they say? Is it a believers congregation? Why? Because there is so much involved in the faith, a sincere faith that we need to have. Father was a Greek. Maybe tough times that Eunice might be going through at that time. That might have caused Timothy to go through tears in his life. We don't know whatever situation that was happening in Timothy's life, his personal life, family life. That sincere faith passed on from Lois to her daughter, Eunice, and from Eunice to her son, Timothy. What a great experience this is. The faith that is the greatest heritage that you can pass on to your next generation. More than inheritance, more than property, more than money. It is your sincere faith that you have that you need to pass it on to your next generation. That is more important than anything else. John in his letter, he says, I have no greater joy than this, to see my children walk in the truth. That is the greatest joy that you should have. It is not about being able to get very good jobs, etc. It's good to have. I'm not saying that you should not. But the greater joy is to see your children walking in the truth, walking in the faith. Do you have the faith, my dear? Can you pass on that faith? Mothers here, or even fathers for that matter, but specifically you are talking about mothers here. Whether to a daughter or to a son. Lois to her daughter, Eunice to her son. For sons and daughters are the greatest gift that God has given us. Are we passing it on? Are we spending time with our children? Can children see, oh, my mom, my dad, they are a prayerful people. When they go through struggles in their lives, I see that when we have a problem in our family, when one of my family members lose their job, what do? They do keep running here and there. They manipulate things here, or do they depend on God? Every action, every reaction that we do in our houses is reflected onto our children. And that sincere faith, if we don't have it, it will not be passed on. So let this be a great challenge, my dear. The faith of the mother. What a wonderful experience is it. Today being Mother's Day. Being able to honor the mothers. To be able to honor the mothers in the Bible as well. Two mothers, Lois and Eunice. Wow. No wonder we can say, not only you call her mom, but it is a wow. Wow, so wonderful to be able to thank God for the mothers here, to be able to thank God. And not only that, we should be able to have the faith in ourselves as well. That is what he says in verse 5. I'm sure that it is in you as well. Who is telling it? Paul is telling it. Timothy telling is one way. But Paul seeing the faith of Timothy and Paul saying, I'm sure, I'm confident, I'm persuaded that the same sincere faith is in you as well. What a great testimony it is. Can somebody say, oh, what a wonderful brother or sister she is or he is, that they have a sincere faith in God. The sincere, unfeigned, unpretended, unhypocritical faith. The second thing that we can learn is not only a reason to remind, but also gift of God. We'll come back to the center one later. On the sixth verse, see, I told you to write down that sixth verse because it will help us. The second part is a gift of God. It says in verse 6, I have a reason to remind, to kindle afresh or fan the flame of the gift of God which is in you. The gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. There is something that is happening in the life of Timothy. And for that matter, every one of us. And what is that? The gift of God. The gift of God is given unto us. What is that gift of God that is given unto us? Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Please read. The gift of God, for that matter, it is called a gracious gift of God. Devuni krupa varamo. It is to be more precise. It's not just varamo, krupa varamo, gracious gift. Please read Romans chapter 6 verse 23.
For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay, please read in another language, 6:23. Devuni krupavaramo, the free gift of God. What is that free gift of God? What is this gift of God that God is, the word of God is talking about? Many times we directly jump to the third point or the second point which I'm going to share. But the first point is saving gift. The first point is saving gift. Note it down. The gift of God is a saving gift. What is a save? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He wants to give us the gift of eternal life. And that gift of eternal life comes only through salvation. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ephesians 2, 8. Ephesians 2, 8.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
It is the gift of God. The salvation is a gift of God. Nothing that we can claim because of works, it says in verse 9, that we can boast about. No. It is the gift of God, the saving gift of God. He has given us salvation. He has given us the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. How much more we should be thankful to God. The gift of God is given unto us. What should I do? I need to work out my salvation that Christ has given to me as a gift. Secondly, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10.
As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Again it says, Devuni krupa varamo. Again it talks about a special gift or a gift that is given to us. For those who are saved, that the gift of eternal life is given. But now he says, to each one God is giving a gift. God is giving a gift. As the Spirit of God decides, He gives gifts. It is not about earning something. He gives gift. You never need to do something to get a gift. You get wages. That is why it says, wages of sin is death. But the gift of God. You don't need to earn something. God is saying, I want to give you, my dear. Take it. When somebody's birthday, you bring gifts. It's not because they did something for you that you're giving gift. Otherwise, it becomes a salary. But it's a gift. Not only did he give salvation as a gift, which I'm asking you, anyone sitting here, if you do not have that experience of salvation, there's no better time than now to receive that gift of eternal life from Jesus Christ, who is the giver of that gift. Now, secondly, now that we have been saved, the Spirit of God is giving us gifts as well. The spiritual gifts, it's called. And there are two kinds, to be at a very high level if you want to divide. We're not going to go deep into each and every spiritual gift as such. But in the same chapter, 1 Peter chapter 4, we just read verse 10. According to the grace of God, he has given us gifts. And what is that gifts? Verse 11, please read.
Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever.
Any other language, please? Any other language? Amen. So what is it? Verse 11, speaking gift. Verse 11, serving gift. Two high categories. The gifts can be categorized into two categories. It can fall into only one of these two. Speaking gifts and serving gifts. God has given to each one, it says in verse 10. Who is that each one? Who is saved. If you're not saved, there is no gift, by the way. First of all, get the gift of salvation and there will be more gifts coming after that. First, gift of salvation, saving gift. Secondly, speaking gift. God must have given you a speaking gift where you can speak. God gives the gift of speaking in order to be able to utter the utterances of God, not people's. It's not. I'm not talking about being an orator in a secular place, shouting and talking. I'm talking about one who speaks the utterances of God. Only God's utterances, not human's utterances. That is the speaking gift, my dear. It could be on a pulpit. It could be in a Sunday school. It could be in a family prayer. It could be in a small group. Enabling you to open your mouth and utter the word of God. That's a gift that God gives. Whoever speaks, or the one to whom speaking gift is given. Whoever serves. Seva kare, upacharamu. Serving gift. What is a serving gift? You may not use your mouth, but you use your hands and legs and try to do so much. There are many silent, wonderful people of God who does. Few people come here and open their mouth. But let me tell you, so wonderful to be able to see who are involved in the serving gift as well. There is more accountability for one who is having a speaking gift, but doesn't mean that the one who has serving gift has nothing less as well. But to be able to use your gift for God's glory. If you are speaking, speak the word of God. Don't use your own words. This is for me as well. And if you are serving, do it at the strength which God supplies. In all things, God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. Not to get glory to oneself, but only glory to Lord Jesus Christ, to whom belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. Such is the kind of gift God has given. Do you know what gift God has given you? First of all, eternal life. Do you have that eternal life as a gift? Praise God for that. What next? Oh, I got that gift enough. I'm just running away. No, God is saying, I have more. I have more. Come, come, take. No, God, eternal life, good. I'm just going to sit in a corner and don't worry about anything. I'm saved, done with it. No, God is saying, not only should you be saved, but also I'm giving you gifts so that you can be used. I want to use you. I want to use you. I want to use be you. I want to use you as your mouthpiece. I want to use you as my hands, as my arms. I want to use you because we are all members of that one body. If you want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, including chapter 13 as well, and also Romans chapter 12, and Ephesians as well, talks about the gifts that God has bestowed upon his people. But they all can be categorized into two: speaking gifts and serving gifts. Maybe one person might have both. One person might have one. It is not about the number of gifts. The more gifts you have, the more you are accountable, remember. Oh, that's why I don't want to even know that. No, God has given. If we don't discover our spiritual gifts, that is also a problem. And that is why the third thing, that final thing that we are going to learn today, is fan into flame. You see that? The three things that I have done, reason to remind, R to R. Fan into flame, F into F. Gift of God, G. So talking about this one verse, just one verse, how wonderful God's word is. Maybe we read this verse many times, but maybe we didn't really look into God's word carefully enough. How wonderful God's word is. Fan into flame. I like the way in which English Standard Version or even New International Version uses this small phrase, fan into flame. Fan into flame. I got reminded of things that happened back in our country. So I just wanted to show you a picture. Buttawala. Wow. Those remembrances. What is that? What do they do? What is in his hand? A fan. What is he doing? He keeps on fanning it. Why? Because it produces more heat, more fire to be able to properly roast the corn cob. Fan. Keep on fanning it. Something has happened. Oh, I want to keep on fanning it. Sometimes if we visually look at it, it gives us a better understanding. I don't know when it was the last time you had right from there and eating it. We try to put it on our grills, but it doesn't taste as good as that. We're going to have picnics. We're going to do this. We hope that we can remember those olden days back in our country where we came from. Fan into flame, the gift of God. We need to fan it. Don't just leave it open like that. It becomes cold, my dear. Kindle afresh. Fan, keep on fanning. It requires some effort from our side. God has given us a gift, but just don't keep the gift. Sometimes we don't even open the gift. We open the gift, but we never use it. Why? The word of God is saying here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, fan into flame the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. Through the laying on of hands. That is why when we want to involve people in the ministry, we want to pray over them. Why? In order to be able to tell brother or sister, we want to involve you in the ministry of God. We want you to fan the flame of the gift of God within you. Sometimes you can discover your gift by yourself, or sometimes fellow brother or sister might say, I think you have this gift. Maybe you should really look into that. And let us not use those which are not our gifts and try to do things, because we might end up into trouble and it won't bring glory to God. So what is it that we need to fan the flame? The fan the flame, meaning back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, how can I fan the flame? What should I do? What should I do? The gift of God is given to me. But what did God give along with that? Verse 7. It says,
for God has not given us a spirit of timidity.
We'll stop there. God has not given us the spirit of timidity. I think in KJV it says, it uses the word fear. I think there's a better word for that, more than fear. Because fear has a lot of different ways to interpret it. But New American Standard Bible, it uses the word timidity. Read it in another language, please. Verse 7. Bhayno atma, okay. And how about in another language? పిరికితనము, టిమిడిటీ, కవర్డస్. ద రైట్ వర్డ్ ఇస్ కవర్డస్. హూస్ అ కవర్డ్? స్కేర్డ్. ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ యూజ్ ఇట్. ఐఎమ్ స్కేర్డ్. ఫియర్ ఇస్ దేర్, బట్ ద స్కేరింగ్ ఈస్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద రిజల్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫియర్ సమ్టైమ్స్. సో హియర్ హీస్ సేయింగ్ గాడ్ హ్యాస్ నాట్ గివెన్ అస్ ద స్పిరిట్ ఆఫ్ టిమిడిటీ. వై? బికాస్ వీఆర్ టిమిడ్, సమ్టైమ్స్ వీ డోంట్ వాంట్ టు ఫ్యాన్ ద ఫ్లేమ్. వీ డోంట్ వాంట్ ఈవెన్ ఎక్స్పోజ్ అవర్ సెల్వ్స్ ద గిఫ్ట్ గాడ్ హ్యాస్ గివెన్ అస్. ఓ వై షుడ్ ఐ డూ దిస్? ఓ ద గాడ్ హ్యాస్ గివెన్ మీ అ సర్వింగ్ గిఫ్ట్. మేబీ పీపుల్ మైట్ ఫీల్ అదర్వైజ్. సో ఐ విల్ నాట్ యూస్ ద గిఫ్ట్. సో ఐ విల్ నాట్ ఫ్యాన్ ఇన్ ద ఫ్లేమ్. టిమిడిటీ, కవర్డిస్. God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but he says, but he has given us the spirit of power, spirit of love, and spirit of discipline. That's what it says in verse 7. Spirit of power. God wants to give us the power. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is power unto me unto salvation. That's what it says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I'm not ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of God. That's what it says in verse 8. You should have the strength from God. You need strength from God to kindle the fire. Lord, I'm so afraid. I don't know what to do. I have so many things that are happening in my life that I don't want to use this gift for now. No, come on. Don't rust it. Keep it in a well-oiled machine. Your gift should be like a well-oiled machine, well lubricated enough in terms of being able to be used well. Fan the flame of God's gift that he has given you. The ministry that you are involved in, involve in it wholeheartedly. With a clear conscience, serve him. Fan the flame. God has not given you the spirit of fear. Don't worry. Don't have that cowardice behavior of anything that might happen for you in future. When God has given you the gift, he wants you to use that gift for his glory. No excuses. If he has given you the gift, use it. Spirit of power. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. God will strengthen you. Don't worry. Maybe there are a lot of situations that are happening in your life that you're not able to come out of it in order to be able to use your gift. May the Lord guide you. May the Lord give you strength to be able to be used for his glory. And that, it's included with spirit of love. By love, with love, you should be able to do everything. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It talks about, if I have the gift of prophecies, if I have the faith that move mountains, and yet not have love, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. So it's not about the using the having the gift, but it is the love with which you need to use the gift. It is not with pride that we use our gift. Oh, I have this gift. Nobody else has it. No. We should humble ourselves and say, Lord, thank you for this gift that you have given me. I want to use it for your glory. And if we have to use our hands, our mouth, or anything, do it out of love, my dear. Do it out of love. Speak the truth in love. If you have the speaking gift, speak the truth in love. If you have a serving gift, do it in love. Do everything in word or deed, do it in love, the Bible says. The spirit of love. And finally, the spirit of discipline. Spirit of sound mind, it says in some translations. Sound judgment, it says in some other translations. Discipline, self-discipline. You need to discipline yourself to use the gift of God. Maybe you never thought about the gift. Oh, the gift of eternal life, salvation, I'm good, done with. I'm coming to church, going back, done with. God wants to use you, my dear. He's waiting for you to open the gift. I don't know whether it's a speaking gift or serving gift. You better discover it. And not only opening that gift, don't be surprised. Oh God, I don't know how to do it. God will not only give you the gift, but he'll give you the ability to use the gift. He will give you the strength to use the gift. If not, maybe you need to question yourself whether that is your gift or not. Self-discipline. Discipline yourselves. Practice. If it is a gift of playing instruments, if the gift of singing or gift of sharing the word of God, gift of doing things, or whatever the serving gifts that you have, do it with discipline. If there is no discipline, it will cause confusion. Spend time in the presence of God and say, Lord, I want to discipline myself. I want to use the gift. If it is a singing, singers practice. Musicians practice. And those who are cooking also, maybe that is a gift God has given you. Do it well for God's glory. do it at the right time, in the right way, in a disciplined manner. The time also matters there from a disciplined perspective. So I'm challenging each one of us sitting here, including myself. God's word is reminding us. There's a reason to remind. The faith-based relationship, the faith of the mother, and faith within you. Because of that, because of the faith that you have, the Bible says you need to fan a flame, the gift of God that is within you. And for that fan the flame, God is saying, I'm giving you the spirit of power. I'm going to give you the spirit of love. I'm giving you the spirit of discipline. Use the gift for his glory. What a wonderful word of God it is to kindle afresh the gift of God. Maybe you're struggling to know your gift. Come and talk to you any of us. We'll pray with you and maybe help you identify or discover the spiritual gift. But if you already are involved in a ministry and if you think that is your calling, fan the flame, my dear. Fan into the flame, the gift of God. Don't misuse. Do not neglect the spiritual gift that is in you. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. You don't need to open it, but I'm reading it. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the elders or the presbytery. Do not neglect. Do not neglect. If you neglect the spiritual gift, you are putting yourself in the cold. Remember, next time when you are going to have corn, remember the gift God has given us to fan into flame. Oh, I want to fan the flame.